have Stan calling from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, listening on AM 720. Hello, Stan.
Hey, Tim. How you doing?
I am doing great, man. Welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you very much. And I have a question for you.
Yes.
And it pertains to a footnote in the Apostolic Exhortation.
And I'll bet it's footnote 351.
351, yes.
Yes.
Yes, and that footnote, I'm a little bit lost on that footnote because it seems to allude to that it could be interpreted a couple of different ways, and mm-hmm. I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on that.
Sure.
And that could be lead to abuse, and I was just wondering what your thoughts were.
Sure. Yeah. As you may have guessed by me saying footnote 351. I've had a few questions about this, in fact, from friends, from colleagues, from priest friends, you name it. But here's the key, my friend. The first thing we need to know is that there's no doctrinal error here. Unfortunately, Stan, there have been folks who have gone to extremes on one side saying the Pope, you know, is a heretic and he's made doctrinal errors. That's not the case. Or you have the other extreme. I heard one radio commentator say, oh, the Pope didn't change anything. There's no difference whatsoever. And that's not true either. The bottom line is the Holy Father is saying, and he's really building on what Pope St. John Paul in Familiaris Consortio, paragraph 84, had already talked about in the case of divorce and remarriage outside of the church. Pope St. John Paul, while he said that state, being in that state, divorce, remarried outside of the church, would preclude you from receiving communion, he said we have to make a distinction between cases where you have, for example, someone who is in that situation through no fault of their own, through there are various different scenarios where this can be a possibility, or there can be mitigating factors in why a person is where they are. What our Holy Father, and I think he went to great lengths. Now, Stan, I will tell you, there are things in the letter that are somewhat troubling. I think there's too much ambiguity, and I do think there needs to be clarification, to be sure. But I want to just caution people against saying that, you know, the Pope is teaching heresy. He's not. What he's saying is that there can be a possibility where you have a person, you know, I'm going to toss out a scenario here, Stan. Let's say you have a woman who was deserted. She has a couple of kids. Her husband just runs off with somebody. She's left high and dry. She's in a terrible situation. She has no job, can't raise her children. She goes into another marriage kind of in a desperate situation. She marries outside of the church. Now you got three more kids come along. You got five kids. And she has kind of a reversion back to her faith, and here she is in this to say irregular situation is an understatement, right, Stan? Well, there can be a situation like this where a woman finds herself at, look, you know, I'm married outside of the church. I can't receive communion. What am I going to do? I mean, if now I've reverted to my Catholic faith and I want to receive sacraments, well, in that situation, she would have to, see, on the objective level, would have to cease conjugal relations with her new husband because there is no marriage there. But now she's in a situation where she has five kids. She's got three young ones, two a little bit older. She has no job. Her husband says, yeah, you're going to stop conjugal relations. I'm going to drop you like a sack of potatoes. He's not Catholic. He's going to be out of here. We can have situations like this where, yes, on the objective level, which she needs to do the right thing, you can't continue conjugal relations if you're going to receive sacraments. But there's so much pressure on her, and this is what the Holy Father is emphasizing, that you can have a situation where people are objectively in a state of grave sin, but because of extenuating circumstances, fear, for example, the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us, is a mitigating factor that can reduce culpability. What is an objective mortal sin can be reduced to the point where it is not, that person is not mortally culpable. We have right now on the phone Stan from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Stan, are you still there?
Yes.
All right, Stan, let me, I want to finish that scenario real quick by saying this. What we're talking about here and what the Holy Father was getting at is you can have a situation where, I'm using the example of the woman who finds herself in an irregular situation. She's in this marriage and she has children that are dependent upon the breadwinner, which is the father. And if in fact she ceases from conjugal relations, he's going to be out of there. Her children could literally be out in the streets. She's living in the middle of Brazil somewhere, already somewhat impoverished. And so, you know, while no doubt she could, you know, heroically say, you know what, no matter what he does, this is what I'm going to do. And praise God for that. But what our Holy Father is saying, and by the way, he's not saying that she, as some accuse the Pope of saying, he's not saying she would sin if she obeys the gospel. That's not what the Pope's saying. What the Pope is saying is that there is a fear factor here that can mitigate her culpability to where what is objectively grave sin becomes a venial sin. She's not fully culpable because of all the fear surrounding her decision. Now, in that situation, which, by the way, our Holy Father, Pope St. John Paul, does talk about and distinguishes between situations that are more grave than others. You know, the woman who is abandoned is not the same as somebody who leaves their spouse. The Catechism of the Catholic Church clearly teaches that, as did St. Thomas Aquinas, that somebody can be in an objectively grave sin situation, but not be mortally culpable for it because of those mitigating factors. Now, here's the key, my friend. For Pope St. John Paul the Great in Familiaris Consortio, the state, being in that state, means you cannot receive sacraments, period. But that is not a doctrinal statement. That is a matter of prudence. And you can see reasons for that. As Pope St. John Paul said, there's the scandal factor. You know, if this person is admitted, even if a pastor in the internal forum discerns that this person is not actually committing mortal sin, the mitigating, there are mitigating factors that reduces the culpability, Pope St. John Paul would say, no, you still can't receive sacraments in the church. But again, that's a matter of prudence. What Pope Francis is saying, and theologically he is correct. On the objective level, it is possible, and a pastor can discern this woman in this case is not in mortal sin. So from a theological perspective, she could be admitted to the sacraments, even in that irregular situation. And that's what Pope Francis is talking about when he says the sacraments are not for the perfect. Right? You can be in venial sin and receive. In fact, if you're in venial sin alone and not mortal sin, you need the Eucharist because the Eucharist takes away and strengthens us to overcome both venial and mortal sin. So I know this is kind of a long explanation, but Stan, it's important that we make these distinctions so that we don't accuse the Pope, you know, of heresy or anything like that, like I've seen some do, and I've dealt with them over and over. But at the same time, we don't want to go to the other extreme to say, oh, the Pope didn't do anything, you know, nothing has changed. No, he really did give priests the power, if you will, to discern in the internal forum what is going on in the lives of these people. Now, these cases are going to be, I would argue, very rare that you would have situations like this. It's to be dealt with in the internal forum, but there's absolutely no doctrinal change, as the Pope made clear in the letter. There's no change of law, as the Pope made clear as well. He said, you know, he would not even attempt to make a change of law on this because it would end in, you know, endless casuistry trying to get into all the details. This is something that must be dealt with on a pastoral level.